Now, will you turn with me, please, to the Old Testament, to the book of Zechariah? So just as you come to the end of the Old Testament, the last book in the Word of God, as far as the Old Testament is concerned, is Malachi. And then immediately before that, the prophecy of Zechariah. We're going to turn to the 14th chapter, the last chapter of Zechariah, the last book of the Old Testament, but one, chapter 14, reading from the very first verse, and then directly after that, going across to the last book of the New Testament, and that's Revelation. And we're going to read there just a couple of verses from chapter 16. So first of all, Zechariah 14, and then Revelation 16. Let's hear the word of God together, please. Zechariah chapter 14, verse number 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the woman ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. Then lastly, Revelation chapter 16. And verse 17, the last book of the Bible, Revelation 16, verse 17. We'll just read to the end of the chapter, verse 17 of Revelation chapter 16. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven and from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. And we'll just end the reading of God's word there at verse number 21 of Revelation 16, and we know that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning for his own sake and for his own glory. Psalm 46, just going to read the first three verses of that psalm again. We've been looking at some great themes that flow out of this psalm, thinking about some of the great earthquakes that are mentioned in the word of God. Psalm 46, verse number 1, reminds us and records, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Do the waters thereof roar and be troubled, do the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Then verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Let's unite our hearts together. Let's pray earnestly that the Lord will speak to our hearts. Loving God, we thank thee for the reading of thy word. We thank thee, Lord, for the singing of these great hymns. We bless thee, Lord, that you've invited us to seek your face. And we do that just now in the Saviour's name. We do pray, O God, for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We pray, O God, that thy Spirit might move mightily, that thou wilt glorify and exalt thy Son and challenge our hearts, and may a great work be done for God this morning. Grant the help, the infilling, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Glorify and exalt thy Son, and be pleased, O God, to speak into all of our hearts and meet each one at the point of need. We pray in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen. Earthquakes are nothing new. They have occurred down through the centuries, right from the very fall in the Garden of Eden. It wasn't long before the whole earth and the whole creation, according to Romans 8:22, began to groan and travail together in pain right up until this present time. It must be remembered that after Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord and plunged the human race into a state of separation from God, that the Bible said that God cursed the ground. The very ground was cursed, and we see evidence even at this time of year of that all around us. As the grass is beginning to grow again, so are the weeds, the thorns, the thistles, dandelions and daisies, and all sorts of weeds are becoming ever more prevalent. And of course, you don't have to till the ground to produce weeds. The Word of God simply says that the earth, the ground, is cursed. And that's why it brings forth weeds, and they're a real nuisance to anybody involved in farming or gardening. And it's big business trying to keep the weeds under control. But also the ground being cursed by God has brought forth as well earthquakes. The ground, the earth being cursed, contributes to this great phenomena. Whenever plates begin to shift and jar and move very suddenly, and from time to time it can result in great earthquakes. Earthquakes were common in Old Testament scripture. Exodus 19 records the earthquake at Mount Sinai. Elijah experienced an earthquake whenever he went and hid himself after the great victory at Mount Carmel. Isaiah, Amos, and Zechariah all speak as well of great earthquakes. But the Bible also says that at the end of time, at the day of the Lord, whenever Jesus Christ comes back again, that great event will be accompanied by a great earthquake, or even earthquakes, plural. The Word of God says in Revelation chapter 16 and verse number 18, there were voices, thunders, and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake, and so great. And then Zechariah chapter 14 indicates that whenever the great day of the Lord comes, that his feet, the Saviour's feet, shall stand upon the Mount of Olives in that day, which is in Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst toward the east and towards the west, and there shall be a very great valley. A great earthquake will accompany the coming again of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And while the world will tremble in fear, the child of God, the Christian, will be able to say, like the psalmist said, God is our refuge. God is our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not be fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. The world will be in great turmoil whenever Christ comes back again. And the great men of the earth, according to Revelation 6, shall call for rocks and mountains to fall upon them. They will be filled with fear, but there will be a stillness in the heart of the Christian. The child of God does not need to fear. The Christian will be able to be still and to know that he is God, and that, yes, he will be exalted among the heathen. This is the last earthquake that we're going to consider as we conclude this part of our series in themes from Psalm 46. And as our custom has been, as we have looked at some of the great earthquakes in the Word of God in recent weeks, we're going to consider the events that lead up to the earthquake, the events that happen with the earthquake coming, and then the immediate aftermath of this earthquake, the greatest earthquake of all, the earthquake at the end. First of all, then, the antecedent to the earthquake. This earthquake that is spoken of here in Zechariah and also in the book of the Revelation will coincide with the coming again, the advent of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Zechariah 14, verse 1, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh." And then verse number 4, "His feet shall stand in that day, in the day of the Lord, upon the Mount of Olives." His feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives in that day. And it's interesting that according to Matthew 24, it was while the Lord was on the Mount of Olives, shortly before going to the cross, that his disciples asked him a great question. "What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age," or the end of the world? And the Lord began to give a great list of characteristics of what our world will be like at the end time age, just before he comes back again. And then Zechariah speaks about the Mount of Olives in chapter 14 of his prophecy. And from that mountain of which the Lord spoke about his coming, the Bible says his feet shall stand again on the day of the Lord upon that great mountain. This great earthquake will be preceded by great deception. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 4, the Lord says, after the disciples asked that question, he says, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." And over recent years, over the last 100 or 150 years, many great cults have come to the fore and have deceived many. And now, even in the evangelical church, there's still a lot of deception. Verse number 11 of Matthew 24 says, "False prophets shall arise and deceive many." And many now are prophesying and making predictions and claiming to speak in the Savior's name and coming with new revelations, so-called, and many are being deluded, many are being deceived, because the Bible says that in the last days there shall be great deception. Whenever Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse number 4, he spoke about a time whenever people will come and they will preach another Jesus, and they will preach another spirit, and they will preach another gospel. And I believe today that many are being deceived, and they're listening to another gospel. It maybe has a ring of truth about it, but also certain uncertainties and irregularities about it. And we're living in days whenever, if people mention the name of Jesus or the name of Christ, people immediately accept it as being orthodox and evangelical. But Paul says some will come and they'll preach another gospel. They'll preach another Christ. And they will preach by the power of another spirit. Satan is the master of deception. And the worst type of deception of all, perhaps, is self-deception. This great earthquake will be preceded by great deception. It'll also be preceded by great upheaval. Verse 6 through to verse number 8 of Matthew 24, "Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. These things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. And so the Lord says that before he comes again, and before the great day of the Lord arrives, there will be great upheaval nationally, internationally, morally, socially, politically, religiously, economically, and even meteorologically. There will be great upheaval in virtually every area and aspect of life itself. And incidentally, one sign is earthquakes in divers or different or even unexpected places. Now, there have always been earthquakes throughout history. But what the Lord is indicating is that there will be more earthquakes than normal. And it'll be almost unusual. Just as there have been wars from the very beginning, so before Christ comes back again, there will be more wars and more rumors of wars and more talk of wars. And nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. This great earthquake, preceded by great deception, great upheaval, and also verses 9 and 10, great persecution for Israel and also for the church of Jesus Christ. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted, shall kill you. Ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Many shall be offended, shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Great persecution. And we see the temperature, don't we, rising a little bit, even in our own province and in our own locality. All this talk now, if you stand up for truth and righteousness, hate speech, and many that know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, if they want to honour him, are often finding it difficult maybe to get employment or to participate in certain things because you have to compromise your faith. And if you're not willing to compromise your faith, you can get maligned and persecuted on a small level perhaps. But the Saviour says there's going to be great persecution in the last days, and many believers will be slain and martyred. And I wonder today, would you be willing, if those days were to come this incoming week, would you be willing to stand up for Jesus Christ? Would you be willing to dare to be a Daniel and dare to stand alone and dare to have a purpose firm and dare to make it known and if necessary, be thrown to the lions themselves? He that endureth to the end, the Bible says, shall be saved. And then as well, there'll be great apostasy or great departure from the faith. Verse 12, iniquity shall abound. And because of that, the love that many profess to have for Jesus Christ and for the things of God, the love of many shall wax cold. And then it goes on to say in verse number 15 about the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place. And there's this great slide, this great departure, and the Word of God speaks about it often. There'll be great apostasy, false teachers, false professors, false Christs, false gospels, iniquity rising, truth being diminished, persecution coming against true Christians, and then many that name the name of Christ, their love waxes cold, and they get carried along with the great falling away. The Apostle Paul speaks about it in great detail as he wrote to Timothy. He said that the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Furthermore, Paul went on to say the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned aside to fables. And doctrines and biblical practices that Christians held to for generations are now being eroded under the guise, perhaps even, of Christian liberty. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians that the great day of the Lord shall not come except there be a falling away first. A falling away, apostasia is the Greek word, from which we get apostasy, and that same word is oftentimes translated divorcement. People at once affiliated with God, with Christ, with his people and his church will divorce themselves from it and fall away and get away from the things of God completely. And I believe those days, dear friends, are upon us. So before the great earthquake, great deception, great upheaval, great persecution, great apostasy. Verse number 14 of Matthew 24, the Great Commission will also continue to be fulfilled. The Lord says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness against all nations, and then shall the end come. And it's wonderful that the gospel is still going forth. And even in spite of all the events that will take place before the great day of the Lord comes, the gospel will still be going forth right until the very end. Jesus Christ will continue to exalt his word above his name. He'll continue to build his church. And even in these days that we're living in, the gospel is still going forth. And then verse 21, the Lord also speaks about great tribulation, great trouble. Jeremiah spoke about the time of Jacob's trouble. Daniel 12 and verse 1 says, before the Savior comes back again, there will be a time of trouble in the world, the like of which has never been seen before. A great period of tribulation. And then the Lord Jesus Christ will come back again. Verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And that will coincide, my friends, with this great earthquake, the antecedent to the earthquake. Notice as well the arrival of the earthquake. I'm not sure if you have ever been in a place that is subject to earthquakes. Probably very few of us, if any, have experienced a literal physical earthquake or even an earth tremor. But I can imagine if you lived in somewhere like Chile or Turkey or parts of the world where earthquakes are very prevalent. And if you were to experience an earthquake, it would certainly be one of the most fearful things that you could experience. The very ground perhaps being rent asunder. Your house falling down around you. Chasms being opened. Not sure how long it's going to be. Are there going to be aftershocks? Are there going to be great tsunamis as a result of the earthquakes? The Word of God says that in the last days, whenever Jesus Christ returns, there will be a plurality of earthquakes. Not just one earthquake. But you carefully read through the book of the Revelation, and there will be many earthquakes. Now, Revelation is a book that is a book of sevens. Seven is the number of perfection, the number of fullness, the number of completion. And Revelation speaks about seven churches, seven letters, seven spirits, seven lampstands, seven stars, seven horns, seven eyes, seven angels, seven crowns, seven plagues. But it also speaks in chapter 6 through to chapter 8 about seven seals. And then from chapter 8 to chapter 11, seven trumpets. And then chapter 16, seven vials or seven bowls. And those seven seals, seven trumpets and seven vials all coincide with God's judgments upon the earth in the last days coming up to the day of the Lord. And as those seals are broken, as those trumpets are sounded, and as those vials are poured out on the earth, it often coincides with earthquakes, the very earth trembling under the indignation of God. For example, Revelation 6:12, the sixth seal was opened, and there was a great earthquake. And then you go on to chapter 8 and verse number 5, the seventh seal broken. And it says in verse number 5, the voice of thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. Chapter 11 and verse number 13, the angel has sounded his trumpet. And again it says there was a great earthquake. Chapter 11 and verse number 19, there was an earthquake even in the temple of God itself. When we've read in chapter 16 and verse number 18 about a great earthquake. Such was not since there was a man upon the earth. A plurality of earthquakes, undoubtedly all gaining and growing in intensity until Jesus Christ comes back again. What about the power of the earthquake? You know, the return of Jesus Christ our Lord is going to be accompanied by great phenomenon. The Bible says the sun shall be darkened. The Word of God says that the stars shall not give their light, they shall cease to shine. And oftentimes, if someone goes to a great concert and the stage has been set, and just before the curtain comes up and the show is about to commence and the lights come on, very often the lights are darkened. And that's an indication that the show and the curtain is about to be opened. And before the heavens roll apart and Jesus Christ comes back again, the Bible says there's going to be great darkness. And then the voice of the Lord shall speak. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the trump of God, and with the voice of the archangel. And the little prophecy of Haggai speaks about that great event as well. Haggai chapter 2 and verse number 6 records it. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will shake the nations, and the desire of nations, Jesus Christ, shall come. And there's going to be a shaking of the nations, a shaking of the earth. And according to Hebrews chapter 12, 26, that quotes from Haggai chapter 2, that will coincide with the voice of God himself. Whenever Jesus Christ comes back again and descends from heaven with a shout, and the voice of God speaks, the very earth shall tremble under the voice of Almighty God. There's something about the voice of Jesus Christ. Something about the Word of God. Whenever it speaks at last before all the world, that the very world and earth will tremble underneath it. I wonder today, whenever we listen to the Word of God, whenever we hear the Word of God, I wonder, do we ever tremble? Do we realize how solemn a thing, how wonderful a thing it is to have the Word of God? And maybe God has been speaking into your heart in recent days, and you've been worried and anxious and afraid. God has been speaking into your heart. The world will tremble whenever Jesus Christ comes back again. What's the great purpose of this earthquake? His feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives in the last days, and the mountain shall cleave asunder. Isn't it significant that the Son of God is coming back to the Mount of Olives, the very mountain from which he spoke to his disciples about his return, the very mountain from which he ascended into glory itself, that he's coming back again, the Word of God says, to that very mountain? Whenever the disciples were gathered in Acts 1 at the Mount of Olives, and they saw the Lord ascend into glory, an angel appeared and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." They saw him ascend physically, visibly, personally, and he's coming back again physically, visibly, and personally. He was taken up by a great cloud. He's coming back again with clouds, and he's going to stand on the Mount of Olives. And the Word of God says that the mountain will quake underneath his feet. Some of you might remember back there in 2004, the great tsunami in the Indian Ocean. One of the greatest tragedies, one of the greatest natural disasters of modern times, and almost a quarter of a million people perished as a result of that great earthquake at sea. But the earthquake that will come whenever Jesus Christ comes back again will transcend all other earthquakes. You know, whenever the great Creator died upon the cross, there was an earthquake, and we have thought about that. And whenever the Creator rose again from the tomb, there was an earthquake at that event. But whenever the Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes back again, there will be the greatest earthquake of all times. The very earth shall tremble at the presence of the Lord. Then in closing, what about the aftermath of this earthquake? What will happen immediately after this earthquake? Well, the world will be in disarray. The world will be filled with fear and trepidation. But the child of God will be able to say, God is our refuge. God is my strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, while the great men, according to Revelation 6, are crying for rocks and hills to fall, the child of God, the Christian, will see their Saviour as he is, and they will be still and know that he is God, and he will be exalted among the heathen. He will be exalted as the great judge. The Bible says the judge of all the earth shall do right. And he will judge Antichrist. He will judge all them that obey not the gospel. The word of God speaks of that again and again and again. Whenever he comes back again, I wonder, will you be ready? I wonder, will you be meeting him as your Savior and your Lord? As your friend, as your advocate? Or will you be meeting him as your judge whenever he comes back again and stands on the Mount of Olives? The scripture says all nations shall be gathered before him, and he shall divide the sheep from the goats, and there's going to be a great harvest that will accompany the coming again of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Where will you be in that great day whenever the Mount of Olives is divided, and whenever the nations of the earth are divided, and whenever homes and families are divided? What side of Christ will you be on? Will he say to you, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord? Or will he say, depart from me, I never knew you? He will be exalted as judge. He will also be exalted as king. Revelation 20 says that he shall reign upon the earth, and his saints shall reign with him. Many people are getting excited about the coronation of King Charles at the end of this week. I tell you, I'm getting excited about the crowning day that's coming, whenever Jesus Christ will be crowned and exalted and acknowledged as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Is he King of your life this morning? He will be exalted as judge. He will be exalted as King. He will also be exalted as Savior. The Bible says that whenever he comes back again, it speaks about the redemption of the body. Salvation is a once for all act, but it is also a process. Whenever a person is saved, at that moment they're born again, they're justified, they're forgiven, they're declared righteous, and then they begin to grow in grace. And then whenever Jesus Christ, our Lord, comes back again, the Bible says we will be made perfect in holiness, and our salvation will be complete, and these bodies of ours shall be changed. Beloved, John said, now are we the sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that whenever he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Paul said, this corruption shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, and we will have glorified bodies. We will never know what it is to suffer aches or pains or sickness or sorrow. We'll never know for all eternity what it is to be fearful or worried or anxious or depressed or lonely. We will never know what it is to experience the turmoil of life in this earth. Our bodies, our minds, our souls, our spirits made perfect in holiness. He will be exalted as well as sovereign. Whenever he comes back again to reign, all creation will cease to groan. The scripture says that the wolf shall lay down with the lamb, and a little child shall lead them, and there'll be a time of peace upon the earth, and then the new heavens and the new earth. You know, if you knew that an earthquake was coming, and you knew that it was going to come to your locality, you would prepare for it. You would maybe flee to a safe place. You would take whatever precautions are necessary. The Bible says that there's going to be a great earthquake at the last day. Jesus Christ is coming back again. And you need to prepare. The Bible says, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. May God write his word upon our hearts today. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, come to him today. Enter into the great ark of God's salvation and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.